All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Here we are on a Thursday morning. It's October 24th, 2024, 10-24, 2024. I guess that's a little confusing to say. Maybe if you try to say it three times fast, I don't know. But it is a Thursday, which is my favorite day of the week because it gets us to almost Friday, almost finally Friday. Let's start by thanking our community-minded partners here at the KNS Radio Network. Makes all this great programming available to you. At least what I think is great programming. Center Township of Clinton County, thank you so much, Jamie Pratt. Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, thank you, Alan. Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Jim Ferguson, good morning to you. Live for Life, Indiana, Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, plus ProByte Computers, all with the KNS Radio Network. And I get so excited as I read down this list here and see some that we've added over the last couple weeks. And friends, just know that most of it you'll be able to notice, you'll be able to see and hear and feel as you're listening to KNS. But as we get more sponsor advertising dollars in, I'm going to truly put this every dime back into the station as I see fit. It may be buying some new equipment. It may be hiring a new reporter. It may be a little of both. It may be purchasing some monthly things that I can bring to you. Of course, we have some meteorologists that we pay on a monthly basis as well. And I've explained to most of you that, like a real radio station, I have to pay royalties to the artists that we play. So whoever owns the Beatles library, KNS actually cuts them a check each month. Now, I don't do that. I have a service that does that for me. I submit all the music we play. They go through it and take, 75 cents for Paul McCartney and 80 cents for Gordon Lightfoot, or however that works. I pay for a service to do that, because if not, I would be no better than a pirate radio station. And I wanted KNS to be as legit as possible when I started this back in February. That's the other thing. I can't believe that we're coming up on, let's see, what do you got? November, December, January. I mean, in 3 months, we'll be celebrating a one-year anniversary here at KNS. And I think back to everything that I've been able to do, and some employees that have come and gone already, and some sponsors that have come and gone already. And I really think that the first year is a getting your feet, getting on your feet, I guess, or getting your feet wet, or getting stabilized, or get your sea legs, whatever you want to call it. I feel some big things coming up next year for KNS, and maybe probably before the end of the year. I'm working on something big for the Christmas holiday season with Granny Tanya Shoemaker, who is Granny of Granny's Goodies in Mulberry. And we're working on something, a brainchild of hers, which is hopefully going to help a bunch of the kids of Clinton County for the Christmas holiday season. And we'll talk more about that as we get that hammered out and get some more details on that. All right. So the KNS Radio Network precision forecast should be a nice one today. We're looking for blue skies and 62 the daytime high. Breezy tonight, clear at a low 49. Clear tomorrow on finally Friday, high 68. And then sunny both Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the mid-60s. It's crazy because we've not had any rain to speak of in quite some time. And that will really, it's darn dry out there. Many of you know my full-time job is with Moses Surveying, and sometimes that requires hammering things into the ground, whether it's bars to set property corners, or maybe a wooden lath to indicate where that property corner is, or maybe even just pushing a pink flag down into the ground. It is really hard to hammer a wooden lath into the ground, even 3 or 4 inches, if it's just dry as a bone. It's just hard. So we digress on that, and I figured out a couple shortcuts to do that. I usually carry a bottle of water with me, And that way we can maybe soften up the ground a little bit if we need to before we put in those wooden laths. But we digress on that, all right? But it's going to be dry, and it's been dry, and it's going to probably be dry for quite some time. So I guess we'll get used to that. All right, what I wanted to also quickly remind you of, Free Pizza Friday tomorrow with Frankfurt Pizza Hut and K&S. All you got to do is go to the website on Facebook, Morning Sickness from K&S Radio, tomorrow morning around 8:30, and we will be prompting you to simply comment below, K&S Radio Rocks, and then after 5 o'clock sometime Friday afternoon, I will draw a winner at random, and I'll get in touch with you through Facebook Messenger. And let you know that you are the winner. Also, tomorrow morning on the program, Bill Gant going to join me again, as he does every Friday, right here from the K&S Radio Network. Okay, well, last night was the night. It was 1 week later after the hearing and testimony of the hearing of Melissa Trump. And there were a lot went into this. Of course, many of you listened last week, the morning after, which was 1 week ago today, on my news and commentary and analysis of that. All of that was fact-based, and then some opinion put in there as well. I'm going to bring you, I was at the Sheriff's Merit Board fact-finding hearing last night, and it was very quick, people in and out. The decision was made, the decision was announced, and then they had an executive session that they needed to go into, so everybody kind of had to leave. And so then you have the fallout, good or bad, and you have the decision, and then you have comments and things like that, whether it be from the sheriff or from Deputy Trump. And so the gist of it is the merit board, which is a 5-member board of the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, voted 3-1. There was one individual who was in Florida at the time of the hearing, so he couldn't vote. But they voted 3-1 to not fire Deputy Trump, but give her a 30-day unpaid suspension, and then she gets to keep her job. And I'm going to read through the findings of fact and the conclusions and the decision officially here in a moment. It will take up a little bit of time, and it's kind of a dry document. I'll try to help you know what's going along as we go along. But it was I was thinking about it afterwards, and I think the merit board probably made the best decision they could, because there was, regardless of Melissa Trump having this attorney who was very good and able to make everybody look bad that he came up against. I mean, that's what a good attorney does, is, fosters, gets that doubt and tries to make the other side look bad. That's what a good defense attorney does. And this guy was a defense attorney, Mr. Adam Brower. And so he was able to cast Melissa in a favorable light. But the fact of the matter is, she still violated these merit board rules. And the merit board would have had every right to fire her last night if they were just going on merit board rules only. And the more I thought about it last night, the more I thought this was a brilliant decision on the merit board's part for a couple reasons. Number one, it enables some form of healing, I guess. I use that term loosely, for the community, for Deputy Trump, for the sheriff's department as a whole, which has kind of been split on this from the way I understand. I don't have any inside sources there, but just from what I've heard. So it kind of puts it to bed, right? And with this, there is the findings of fact and the conclusions and the decision So it's a done deal. And this way, Melissa may have had, and maybe not one, but it would have been another big, long, drawn-out process. If they would have fired her, she could have maybe, again, maybe, don't know in the court of law, had had a chance to, you know, have a big lawsuit against the county, frankly. And I think the Merit Board doesn't want that. I don't think anybody wants that. Now, there is an appeal possible on both sides in within the first 30 days, I believe. The sheriff did stand up last night and let the other side know that, you know, they'll figure out how to start this 30-day suspension and what that looks like. There's also some other things hanging out there is Melissa did not get her dog Tico back, the dog which it does belong to the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, and I don't think that will happen. I think that would have happened last night if it was going to, but that dog is an asset and has already been assigned to another handler, and so I think that is put to bed. The other thing is I don't know what it's going to look like for Melissa Trump moving forward being an employee of the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. I'm hoping to get an interview with her here over the next week or so, depending on if her attorney lets her. And if not, I'll interview her attorney. But I think it's going to be awful tough for her to step back in there and work for a sheriff that has brought these charges against her and found that they, you know, the findings of fact was that she violated these rules. And I think it'll also be hard for her to step back in that role after what she said about the sheriff and his wife. So we'll find out together as this moves forward, but there's still a lot of moving parts and appeals process is certainly still there. The sheriff had amended his charges about a week and a half ago to include wrongdoing on her part on her social media, saying that she got free stuff using the Clinton County Sheriff's Department insignia and vehicle while she was putting that in her videos, whether it was on Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook. And a lot of you are probably friends with her on some of those social media platforms, so you know what we're talking about. On her Facebook page, it says off-duty / not agency affiliated for a little disclaimer there. Now, Sheriff Kelly had told us through the attorney a week ago that if she is allowed to stay on board, he's going to reinstate those social media charges against her. So that is also something that we have to look at in the future and just see, try to follow up on, because this is not over. And 30 days will come along pretty quick here to where she'll be going back to work, so to speak. So we'll find out through the Merit Board how all that works over the course of the next week or so, as again, 30 days of the appeal process, and when she's suspended and allowed to come back, we'll move along pretty quick. So the document that was handed to me by John Wright, the Merit Board president, is a 10-page document. I'm going to read most of it to you here. There's a page of quotes that I didn't think needed to be read, but we might if we get to it there. So this is before the Merit Board of the Clinton County Sheriff's Department in the matter regarding the proposed discipline of Melissa Trump, findings of fact, conclusions, and decision. Sheriff Rich Kelly brought this matter to the Clinton County Sheriff's Merit Board by preferring charges against Deputy Melissa Trump, alleging she was dishonest during an internal investigation, she condoned criminal behavior, and she engaged in conduct unbecoming an officer. A public hearing was held in this matter October 16th, a week ago, in the training room at the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. Four members of the Merit Board, specifically John Wright, Brad Smith, Janine Rule, and Mike Besh, participated in the public hearing. and consideration of this matter. Board member Mark Palmer was unable to attend the complete public hearing and therefore did not vote in this matter. And last night the vote was 3-1, and the one dissension was Janine Rule, if I'm not mistaken. Deputy Trump, represented by Attorney Adam Brower, Sheriff, represented by Attorney Tanya Bond. The board was advised by Attorney Michelle Cooper on matters of law and procedure. During the hearing, all exhibits presented by the parties were admitted into evidence, with the exception of an amended complaint that was withdrawn by the sheriff prior to the public hearing, which amended complaint was not admitted into evidence. That is from the way I understand talking about the social media. All evidence admitted in this matter may be considered by the merit board. So that's just them saying that all the evidence that was under oath last week is what they can look at. Based on the evidence presented to the merit board and the merit board's evaluation of the demeanor and credibility of the witnesses, the board now makes the following findings of fact and conclusions of law. So the next page or two or three is going to be findings of fact. They know this to be fact, okay? Number one, Melissa Trump is a deputy employed by the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Trump testified at the public hearing in this matter. Number two, Sheriff Rich Kelly is the elected sheriff in Clinton County and testified at the public hearing in this matter. Number three, in addition to testifying himself, the sheriff called Clinton County Prosecutor Anthony Summer and Detective Rudebush to testify at the public hearing. Number four, in addition to testifying herself, Deputy Trump called Donovan Denham, Heather Dyson, Jeff Dyson, and Tess Short to testify in this matter. Number five, the evidence established that Blake and Tess had gone over to Deputy Trump's home on the night of March 1st, 2024. When they arrived, Deputy Trump was at the next-door neighbor's house. Deputy Trump's fiance, Donovan Denham, was at their, which is he and Deputy Trump's home, with some friends. Number six, Blake was drinking a beer while at Deputy Trump's home. Blake is Deputy Trump's son. Number seven, Tess was drinking alcohol while at Deputy Trump's home and was intoxicated. Number eight, not long after Deputy Trump returned to her home from the neighbor's house, Blake and Tess were getting ready to leave to go home. Deputy Trump tried to get Blake and Tess to stay at her home as they both had been drinking, but they decided to leave to go home. Number nine, Deputy Trump had Blake and Tess take a portable breath test using a PBT device that had been issued to her from the sheriff's department. Blake blew under the legal limit and Tess blew over the legal limit. Number 10, Blake and Tess left Deputy Trump's house with Blake driving the vehicle. On their way home, Blake and Tess were pulled over by the Noblesville police during that stop. Tess told the officers they had been over at Deputy Trump's home drinking alcohol. Number 11, on or around March 4th, 2024, Detective Rudebush was contacted by Detective Sergeant Tim Hendricks of the Noblesville Police Department, notifying him that on March 2nd, 2024, Blake and Tess had been pulled over and were arrested for the illegal consumption of alcohol by a minor. Number 12, Detective Hendricks told Detective Rudebush that Blake and Tess told the police at the scene that they had consumed alcoholic beverages at Deputy Trump's house. Both Blake and Tess were 20 years old at the time. Detective Rudebush notified the sheriff of what had been reported to him. The sheriff assigned Detective Rudebush to open an internal employment investigation to look into the information provided by Detective Hendricks. So we are going through the findings of fact here. From the Clinton County Sheriff's Merit Board, which was determined and admitted last night. Number 13, video footage from the body cameras worn by the Noblesville officers during their arrest of Blake and Tess were admitted into evidence at the public hearing as follows. Sheriff's Exhibit A, which is Officer Lane Snyder body camera footage. Sheriff's Exhibit B, Officer Crystal Waters body camera footage. Sheriff's Exhibit C, Officer Christopher Hesselschwartz body camera footage. Sheriff's Exhibit D, Officer Matt Wiles body camera footage. And Sheriff's Exhibit E, Officer Matt Lorries body camera footage. Number 14. During the internal investigation, Detective Rudebush interviewed Deputy Trump. Number 15, Deputy Trump also voluntarily submitted to a polygraph examination during the internal investigation. Number 16, recordings of Detective Rudabush's interview of Deputy Trump, as well as her interview with the polygraph examiner, were admitted into evidence. And if you recall, I went over some of that in last week's news and analysis here. Number 18, Deputy Trump said during the internal investigation that she knew they were drinking and she did not care. In Deputy Trump's words, she did not give a shit. Number 19, when talking with the polygrapher, Deputy Trump told him this was not the first time they drank around her. Number 20, Deputy Trump told the polygrapher that the group had taken Tess out for her birthday one time when Tess turned 20. Deputy Trump said the employee of the restaurant thought that Tess brought Tess a shot of tequila. Deputy Trump said the restaurant thought Tess was 21 and they were all just going along with it. Deputy Trump said it was not like she was going to stop it. Deputy Trump admitted to the polygrapher that she knowingly allowed Tess to drink alcohol that night at the restaurant. Number 21. Notably, Deputy Trump suggested during her testimony at the public hearing in this matter that she was unaware that Tess was under age 21 and that once she found out she was underage, she'd never let her drink around her again. This testimony by Deputy Trump before the board is in conflict with the information she provided to the polygrapher. Deputy Trump told the polygrapher that she was aware at the restaurant at Tess's 20th birthday get-together that Tess was not 21 years old, but yet she was drinking alcohol at the restaurant in her presence. The board finds that Deputy Trump was either being dishonest on this point during her testimony before the board, or she was being dishonest during her interview with the polygrapher because her own stories conflicted with each other. Number 22. Deputy Trump told the polygrapher that she had allowed alcohol at her that she had alcohol at her house. She said she did not buy it for Blake and Tess and she did not get it for them, but they helped themselves to it. At the hearing, Deputy Trump presented evidence suggesting that the alcohol consumed in her home that night by Tess had been brought over by a neighbor. Regardless, there is no dispute that Blake and Tess were consuming alcohol in Deputy Trump's home and Deputy Trump was aware of it. During the post-polygraph interview, the following statements were made during the conversation between Deputy Trump and the polygraph interviewer that are particularly concerning to the board. And since we have time, I'm going to go ahead and read those. These are some quotes. Interviewer, I'm trying to figure out what is going through your mind when I ask you those questions. Trump, I am just thinking about knowing they're drinking and I'm allowing it. Trump, there have been times when I have given them drinks, not in this scenario. Trump, I just assume she, meaning Tess, was making her own drinks. Trump, I have given her seltzers in the past, like, come over, do you want to try this? Trump, I think I am just focused on knowing and allowing them at my house drinking, knowing the alcohol is coming from my house, and seeing them drink it and not giving a shit. You're here. I guess in my mind that this is the same as giving it to them. Trump's, these are continued quotes from Trump with the polygrapher. She said it wasn't planned for them to have drinks at all. Once the neighbors were there, everyone's there. I don't care. They're going to drink. They're going to do it anyways. I've never stopped it. I've never cared. There have been times when we drank together. It is frustrating once I say that it can be used against me. Trump goes on to say, I know there have been one or two times Tess has been at my house drinking when I told Blake she could stay the night. Trump, Blake brought Monster alcohol and showed it to me. The interviewer said, you didn't actively give it to them, but you knew they were drinking that night. Trump said, yes. Officer Laurie's body cam footage shows Tess saying that it was Blake's mom's alcohol they were drinking, and she, meaning Deputy Trump, was letting them drink it. During her testimony, Deputy Trump expressed her viewpoint that minor consumption is a bullshit charge. Number 26, Deputy Trump has been charged by the sheriff with conduct unbecoming to an officer, which rule states, this is 4-2.2, in the conduct unbecoming to an officer. This is in this is the rule book for the merit board. Officers shall conduct themselves at all times, both on and off duty, in such a manner as to reflect most favorably on the office. Conduct on becoming an officer shall include that which brings the office into disrepute or reflects discredit upon the officer as a member of the office, or that which impairs the operation or efficiency of the office or officer. The Merit Board determines that Deputy Trump has violated this rule by admitting to a history of conduct of providing alcoholic beverages to minors and allowing minors to consume alcohol in her presence. Deputy Trump has admittedly provided alcohol to minors on many occasions and has let minors consume alcohol in her presence. In her own words, she admitted to not caring whether her son and his girlfriend had been drinking. Deputy Trump's utter disregard to the laws concerning the consumption of alcohol by minors is reinforced in her own words when she said, "Minor consumption is a bullshit charge." An officer is set to the bar for proper conduct for others in the community. The board views it as a double standard with the manner in which Deputy Trump is living versus how she is enforcing the law. The board finds that the sheriff's charge of conduct unbecoming to an officer against Deputy Trump is substantiated by the evidence presented to the board. Deputy Trump has been charged by the sheriff with violating the rule conformance to laws, which states 4-2.1, the conformance to laws is officers shall obey all laws of the United States and of any state and local jurisdiction in which the officers are present. Also, a conviction or the violation of any criminal law shall be prima facie evidence of a violation of this section. The board determines that Deputy Trump has violated this rule by admitting to a history of conduct in providing alcoholic beverages to minors and allowing minors to consume alcohol in her presence. Deputy Trump admitted in her post-polygraph interview that she knowingly allowed minors to drink alcohol at her house. She had provided alcohol to minors and by her own admission did not stop minors from consuming alcohol. This is in direct conflict with the board's merit rules requiring all deputies to adhere to all laws. Deputy Trump's conduct is a blatant disregard for the laws that are set up to protect those individuals who our society has deemed too young to consume alcohol. Deputy Trump has stated she does not, quote, give a shit, unquote. This statement alone indicates that Deputy Trump does not respect the uniform or badge she wears. Officers are to protect those who need protecting. By allowing these minors, including her own son, to drink underage and drive, she has admitted that she has not obeyed the laws that she is responsible for enforcing. So those are two charges that the sheriff brought up that the merit board agreed that she did in fact violate. Here's another. Deputy Trump has also been charged by the sheriff with violating the following merit rule, 4-3, which is individual obligations and duties of all personnel. As professional law enforcement officers and public servants, it is the policy of the Clinton County Sheriff's Office that all members will conduct themselves in a manner that reflects favorably on the agency and their fellow officers. The Merit Board finds that Deputy Trump's actions in this matter reflect unfavorably on her and the Clinton County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Trump's utter disregard for Indiana law prohibiting the consumption of alcohol by minors has led to public awareness that she, as a deputy of the Clinton County Sheriff's Office, does not respect the laws she has sworn to protect and uphold. By her own admission and actions, she has shown disregard for the laws prohibiting minor consumption of alcohol. Deputy Trump's conduct is not reflecting the image or portrayal that the Merit Board promotes for officers in the department. There was much conflict during the public hearing about Deputy Trump's conduct as it related to honesty and truthfulness. Deputy Trump has been charged by the sheriff with violating the following rule, which is 4-6.4, truthfulness. Again, this is in a merit board rule. Upon order of the sheriff, chief deputy, or a superior officer, officers shall truthfully answer all questions specifically directed and narrowly related to the scope of employment and operations of the agency. The Merit Board finds that it has reason to doubt Deputy Trump's propensity to be truthful. This is primarily due to the Merit Board's belief that Deputy Trump was not fully truthful in her testimony before the board at the public hearing. Particularly, Deputy Trump told the polygrapher that when she and others took Tess out for her birthday when she turned 20, that a restaurant employee brought Tess an alcoholic drink because the employee thought Tess was 21. Deputy Trump indicated she was aware Tess was not 21, but she went along with it. According to what Deputy Trump told the polygrapher, it was not like she was going to stop him. Despite Deputy Trump admitting to the polygrapher that she knowingly allowed Tess to drink alcohol at the restaurant that night, and she was aware she was under age 21, Deputy Trump suggested during her testimony at the public hearing in this matter that she was unaware that Tess was under 21, and that once she found out she was underage, she never let her drink around her again. Deputy Trump's testimony before the board on this point contradicts the information she provided to the polygrapher, which causes the merit board to doubt Deputy Trump's truthfulness. Based upon Deputy Trump's own contradictory testimony on this point, the board finds that Deputy Trump has been untruthful in violation of Rule 4-6.4, truthfulness. This matter is properly before the board pursuant to the Indiana Code. And the final page here, friends, is number 31. The procedure is to be applied by the board is set forth in Indiana Code 36-8-10-11 and through the merit board rules of the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, which procedures and rules have been properly applied in this manner. Number 32. After hearing and reviewing the evidence presented in this matter, the board finds that the evidence establishes that Deputy Trump has violated the merit board rules as have been described and set forth in these findings, and that Deputy Trump should be disciplined for her misconduct. So the decision is based upon the preceding findings of fact and conclusions of law. The merit board of the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, by a vote of 3-1, of the four members taking part in this consideration of this matter, resolved that Deputy Trump shall be suspended without pay for 30 working days as the disciplinary penalty for the violations of merit board rules as described in the merit board's findings set forth herein. So that is the 10-page document that was handed to me last night by the Clinton County Sheriff's Merit Board President John Wright. And I think that pretty much sums it up. Again, I would like to be able to get an interview with Melissa Trump or her attorney, preferably her, not trying to talk anyone into a corner or anything, but just ask her, you know, some questions that inquiring minds want to know. Now, Melissa Trump was on social media last night. Obviously pretty elated and pretty happy that she won, quote unquote. She said that she's taken the night off to spend with her immediate family. Thank you so much for supporting me. You have no idea what this means. She said she was told she had a 10% chance to win against the merit board, and the fact that they ruled in her favor just has changed her perspective so much. It's given me so much faith that deputies in the future will be okay. That's from Deputy Trump's Facebook page last night. There were a couple other posts where she said she still can't believe that she won. She has so many people to thank. She's still speechless. She's spending quality time with friends and family tonight. And each of her posts, one of them got over 300 likes. That was her initial one. Now, she also shared Brett Todd's brief article that he wrote for Concerned Citizens Group of Clinton County, Indiana. A lot of us are on that Facebook group that he wrote shortly after 5 o'clock last night, which just spells out in short detail what I just read to you, all four of the laws that they said she violated. But earlier in the day, Brett being Brett, most of you know him. There have been some people asking me about audio from last Wednesday's hearing, the 7 hours. Now, Brett somehow was able to get 6 hours of recordings and the files enhanced to bring up the audio. I guess he's been working on that for quite some time, at least the last week or so. He says that the audio is hosted on Spotify as well as embedded on the Clinton County Today website. So I'm normally not one to promote other websites, but if you wanted to hear the full 6 hours of what I just basically read to you, you can go to Brett's website, which is the ClintonCountyToday.com, I believe it is. If not, just put Clinton County Today in the search engine. So, ClintonCountyToday.com. And timestamps for each of the recordings have been included. Depending upon your preferred podcast player, the timestamps may or may not be linked. So if you want to go listen to 6 hours, grab some popcorn and some coffee, and you can certainly check that out. Also, while we're talking about other media outlets, across town where the coffee still sucks, Carl Gingrich, a good friend of mine, is a reporter for WILO and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. And he put up a picture of Melissa and Tico and basically spelled out what I, again, just shared with you on the Merit Board finding of facts. Now, for those of you who know Carl, you know Carl is an excellent writer. And so Carl was able to condense this down a little bit into more layman's terms. But he did a nice job of typing it all up and having it all right there. So if you want to read the full story on that, you could also go to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. I'm going to give them credit where credit's due. Carl was able to write up a nice article from the fact-finding mission from Monday, and then what was put out last night after 5 o'clock at the Merit Board meeting. So that's about all I have for the program today. Again, I gave you my thoughts initially at the beginning of the program here, is that, you know, what's it going to look like with Melissa Trump going back to work in 30 days after she serves her unpaid suspension? What's it going to look like in the next 30 days with appeals? Because that's, you know, there is an appeals process for both sides if they would like to. Also, will there be additional charges brought up by the sheriff on those social media charges that he had alleged just prior to last Wednesday's hearing? So again, I think the Merit Board did the best job they could, even though they clearly found fact that Melissa had violated 4 of the rules that the sheriff had alleged. So the sheriff was correct on that. But they chose not to fire her, instead giving her a 30-day suspension, which, again, I think was pretty smart on the part of the Merit Board, because it just takes the edge off of it a little bit. If it would have been a flat-out firing, it would have opened up a whole can of worms, and I think the Merit Board was probably pretty smart on this. That remains to be seen, though, right? All right, so we'll continue to follow that for you over the next 30 days or so. And again, I am going to reach out and try to get an interview with Melissa and with John Wright on the telephone, all right? So don't forget, Bill Gann will be joining me tomorrow. We'll also have Free Pizza Friday with Frankfurt Pizza Hut and K&S. Want to thank our community-minded partners. We love them, every one. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfurt, The Oasis Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, and ProBuy Computers. I'll see you tomorrow morning with Bill Gant for the finally Friday edition of K&S News and Commentary sometime shortly after 8 o'clock. Have a great Thursday from the K&S Radio Network.